John, this is not your first rodeo here. Paducah, Kentucky, A History, just out from the History Press, is book number what for you?
It's at a point of debate. There are things that have my name on it that I don't claim. It's probably about, I would say 13 or 14.
You did one on Paducah titled Frontier to the Atomic Age.
In 1980, the city of Paducah was doing a sesquicentennial history, and they formed a committee here, and the committee asked me to write a book. That was the first Paducah, 1830 to 1980. This is the successor to the 1980 book. I've written several times, different versions of events here, and each time I find something new. And this time, with the assistance of Dieter Ulrich there at Murray State University, we found additional material for, real research into the origins of Paducah. With all of that now becoming available, it's a pleasure to go back over the older work and see that it held up fairly well, and then go ahead and run with it and expand, bringing in new discoveries. That's essentially what I try to do in this one.
I didn't realize there was a Paducah, Texas.
Well, I've always thought it was a spinoff from here, and it probably was. In fact, what really happened was the town treasury ran off of the money and went to Texas. I think that may have been the actual origin of it. But Paducah, Texas and Paducah, Kentucky are both based upon an old legend. And there's a French collection of Indian tales in 1693, I think it was, that refer to the Paducah as a people. They were called the Plains Apache. Had a woman leader, a beautiful woman, and her name was Paducah. The tradition goes on that their neighbors got weapons from Europeans, that's from the Spanish or from the French, and they wiped out this ferocious band of Paducahs. In fact, they took the princess captive and just executed her. So when William Clark was going on the Lewis and Clark expedition, he was looking for some trace of these people. And you see it in the papers, the Lewis and Clark papers. And later, when he was the head of the Indian Department of the West, stationed in St. Louis, in 1827, I believe it was, he wrote a letter to his son, Meriwether Lewis Clark, who was at that time a 15-year-old cadet at West Point. They let them in earlier then than now. And he said, I'm leaving here, which is St. Louis, and I'm going to the mouth of the Tennessee River, and I'm going to lay out a town, and I'm going to name it. In the letter, which is in the Missouri Historical Society, right here, the script changes, and he wrote in capital letters, P-A-D-U-C-A-H, to help in the correct pronunciation. Now, if you've read the Lewis and Clark papers, you'll see that he I think he spelled Sioux 8 different ways in the same day. So he wasn't noted for his spelling. But that's actually the origin of the city's name, as far as I can come up with. And so I got a lot of flack when I first came to Paducah because I didn't believe there was such a creature as Chief Paducah. And I also had read in 1916 where it became a cause celeb with Irvin S. Cobb and others, and a newspaper war resulted trying to figure out if there had been such a person. So that's what got me started, really, on trying to find what really did happen. Like the old historian von Ranke would say, you want to find wiest war, how it actually was. What was the real origin? And so that that's been the driving force behind my getting into the research into Paducah. Of course, I came here to work for the IC Railroad, and I was a telegrapher, a train controller, and a dispatcher. I actually spent one night as a chief dispatcher. And then I gave all that up and went to teaching. But I enjoyed.
I'd like you to tell about the changes that came to Paducah with the uranium enrichment plant, especially the one that got national attention. It had to do with cars.
With cars?
The traffic jams.
Oh, good heavens. Oh, that was life in your own hands. When they decided to counter the Russian threat or the Soviet Union threat by building enough atomic weapons to destroy the Earth if we had to, Paducah suddenly just got into a boom. At first, the rough workers came in. They usually brought a trailer with them, and they were rough. We had one of the largest numbers of work stoppages of any project in, I guess, in the ever the history of the United States, all at that construction of that plant. And yet it came in ahead of schedule and under cost. When they let loose after the first shift, well, it was like a race to see who could get away from the plant the quickest. That period, well, it hadn't been really treated by, you know, as it should have been. And I tried to capture something of the spirit of it because, it changed the life of Paducah dramatically. I used to come in on the railroad, and I disliked Paducah intensely because it was a dirty, filthy place. I'd come in and I'd have all my portables and possessions in one little suitcase. I'd rent a room, open it up and put my new shirts in the top drawer, and wake up the next morning and they'd be covered in soot. Mm. All the heating was done with bituminous coal, and when it was a foggy day, you couldn't see to drive down Kentucky Avenue. That sort of thing was my original introduction to Paducah. I came here to work out of here for the IC Railroad, and I would go as far as Louisville, and originally we went far as Memphis on the other side. So I worked all over this whole district, but my home office was around Paducah. Hmm. And I was sort of an antipathy toward the Paducah viewer themselves. And that has changed over time because Paducah has changed over time dramatically. Art starting to have a major impact upon the city. And look how it's grown. Mm-hmm. We now have a whole district that is a sort of a showplace for the world on how to bring in and take advantage of the talent of artists of various levels of renown. And so Paducah's become a changed community since I first came here in the early 1940s. And I've been privileged to sort of grow along with the city. And what I've tried to do in writing is to sort of reflect what initiated these changes and back it up with historic proof and present that to the public.
John, I think you've done a great job explaining what this book is all about. I really love your stories. I appreciate you talking with me this afternoon.
Well, it's my pleasure. I always enjoy chatting